You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
1 Peter 1 also talks about our faith that is tested as through fire. Faith is the very requirement for salvation, and that's what's being tested, whether it's real or not. We are saved by faith. Faith is that important. For faith to save, it has to be genuine, so it has to be tested. See? And so all Christians will get this crown of life. That's exciting. This is not just for the super elite. This is not just for the apostles and pastors and martyrs and things like that. This is a promise for all of you who believe.
Life will test and challenge you. The enemy will attack and try to sabotage your faith. Trials will cause you to question God. But as Pastor Tom will remind you today, God is a generous God who longs to bless you in this life and more fully and abundantly in the eternal life to come. He promises to bless you with the crown of eternal life if you endure through this life with faith. In order for faith to be genuine, it must be tested and proven. Hold fast to God. He is good and He is faithful. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, seeking God's approval and reward.
James 5:11. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. So why do we have all these people in the Bible, person after person, male, female, during this generation, that generation? They're dealing with difficult circumstances, and the difficult circumstances that David had are different than Ruth, and Ruth is different than Esther, and Esther's different from Daniel, Daniel's different from Moses. But all the variety of these people that are in Scripture, and we read about their trials, then we read about their endurance in the trial, not quitting in their faith, and then we read about their blessing that followed. Because God is always faithful to His own. Pretty simple point, isn't it? God's going to bring you tough stuff. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how strong a believer you are. You're going to have hard stuff, and God brings it to you on purpose. You need to endure under it, because if you do, God will take note, approve of what happened, and bless your life. It's pretty simple. It's written over and over and over again to get our attention so we would understand, oh, that's what He's doing in my life too. Oh, I get it. The Bible speaks to our situation today. That's what we have to believe. Kurt Richardson, in his commentary, says, God wishes to use trials to produce believers who stand their ground through a devout life shaped by the Word of God. The testing is finished when the present life is over. God blesses the man who perseveres all the way through life. That verb persevere, hupomeno, means he stays under. There's the trial, he remains under the trial, under the hand of God as He brings the pressure to bear upon his life. He doesn't run away. He doesn't leave. He stays put. He keeps trusting God in the pain, in the sorrow, in the hardship. He never stops believing. He struggles with believing, of course, but he never stops. He never throws away his faith. He never abandons faith in Jesus. He never is like those disciples that walked away from Christ because he started saying things that were too hard. Interesting that John, in his writing, speaks of perseverance, but he usually uses a different term. It's the term abiding. Abide in Christ, we say. What does that mean? Stay. Remain. Don't leave. It's the verb meno. Endure. Meno is used in 1 Peter 1:23 and 25 to show that God's word endures or remains forever. 1 Corinthians 13:13, it shows that love will endure all the way into eternity. It's forever. It's that word. So John is referring, using that term to refer to believers who remain in the truth. They've heard the gospel. They've heard the truth about Jesus. They remain in God's love. Hard things happen to them. They don't doubt God's love. They understand Christ went to the cross for them. I can't look at my life just externally and see bad and hard things happening and say, ah, God doesn't love me. I got to look back up at the cross. I got to remember who suffered for me. And I believe that, and I stay put, and I don't walk away. That's perseverance. If I do that, I'm a true believer. If I do that, I'm in the true church, you see? So this idea of endurance here in verse 12 looks at your life, looks at the believer's life, any believer's life, as an overall kind of judgment. not just at that little point in January of 2015 or when you really messed up back there in 2009, remember that? And so because of that, that's there. He doesn't judge your life based upon that mess up in that year or that mess up in that month or then. He's looking at the whole thing and he's judging your life and your faith and your endurance over that. Obviously, the believer does stumble and fall. But a true believer, after he falls, does what? He gets back up. Because he knows there's only one place to turn, Christ. Christ holds his future in his hand. You're either going to have Jesus Christ as your judge for all of eternity or your Savior and your friend for all of eternity. You'll never be able to push Jesus Christ away from your life. It will never happen. You'll choose one of those two paths. He will either condemn you or he will save you. That's the choice. He can either be your master and Lord and Savior, or he can be your judge, and he can be the one that sends you away into the eternal fire. You can always confess a sin directly to God. You can always pick yourself back up. You can always return to God. If you're a true believer, you will never stumble so badly so as to fall and not be able to get back up. God will make sure of that of you. He will give you strength. So endurance looks at your life from beginning to end. After each failure, the believer refuses to give up. After each confusing phase of life, when he can't figure out what God is doing, his prayers are not properly answered, in his humble opinion, he still gets back on his knees and says, I don't know what you're doing, but I have no other source of wisdom. When you come to God and say, help me, God, God will listen to that prayer. Hebert again writes, each new test the believer successfully endures adds fresh proof of fidelity to God and contributes to his approved character. In other words, as we're faithful and endure the trial, God adds to us a greater and greater certainty that we really are the children of God, that we're really saved. If we are disobeying and disobeying, that doesn't mean we're not saved, but sometimes we lack the assurance because we're setting up a pattern of disappointing God and being stubborn and being proud and being lustful and being fearful and all those things, and we're not listening to God, and that can hurt our certainty and confidence that we are even saved. But as we endure a trial and another trial, it adds to that confidence. God is at work in my life. Calvin says the faithful are harassed by so many evils for this purpose, that their piety and obedience may be made manifest and that they may be at length prepared to receive the crown of life. You're being prepared to receive the crown of life right now. Did you know that? And that's what all this is about. It's preparation. It is that overall endurance of faith through a trial-filled life that results in great blessing. Notice the middle part of verse 12 says, for once he has been approved. Once he has been approved. That shows that the blessing, the crown, only comes after the testing. Testing first, crown second. He has to have an approval. Test, approval, crown. Wait a minute, that sounds like this is salvation by works. No, it's not. No, it's not. All of this is under the banner of grace. None of us get saved by good works. Ephesians 2 says we're saved by grace alone through faith alone, right? Galatians 2, same thing. The true gospel is only that we're saved by faith apart from any works that we do. We do not add to our account in any way. It is all Christ's righteousness that saves us. But when he saves us and he adds grace to us, even Ephesians 2 says we are created new in Christ Jesus for good works. And those good works, amazingly, God chooses to bless and reward. It's amazing. He's rewarding the grace he put in our heart to produce works. Wow. It should just be good enough to have not been punished. Why would we be rewarded for anything? We don't deserve that, but that's what he likes to do. He's a very generous father, and he loves to give gifts and rewards, and he loves to give approval, but this is how you gain approval. There's no approval for half-tested believers. God, time out. I'm done with this. I'd like the next 20 years just be a peaceful, easy thing. And then you can pick up maybe a year before I'm about to die. And then we'll do it that way. Approved is the Greek term dokimos. You may remember in verse 3, it taught that the trials were the testing of your faith. So to be approved by God, that means your faith inside of you, your claim to believe in Jesus Christ has to be tested. And then if it's tested and it endures, then it's found to be genuine, right?
This term was used in the testing of metals, particularly coins. You put a coin through a test to make sure it's the real thing. This guy gave me some coins. Is that a real coin or is that a fake? You put it through the test. It passes the test. You're like, hey, this is valuable. That's what God does with our faith. Someone's claiming to have faith. Let's test it. Let's see what happens. You test it. You find that it's true. Why? Because it endured. Same term, by the way, is used in 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. 2 Corinthians 10:18 also uses the same term. It is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. Testing is what this entire life is all about. What is this life about? Testing. What's going on in my Christian life? Testing. This life is merely a preparation for the next. See, really? All this long time and everything that happens here is just a testing for the next? It's only 70, 80, 90 years. Then the next life is what? Thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of years. Of course, this is just a drop. This is just a test to see if you have faith, and if you do, he'll bless you forever and ever and ever. When we get to that side, it'll be like, oh, I see now. Paul was right. The sufferings of this present day were not worthy to be compared to the glory that we are receiving now. But it takes faith to latch onto that now, doesn't it? Relief from your testing comes at the end of your life. So don't listen to those preachers that say any differently. Then you enter into glory. Then you rest from your labors. Then you participate in paradise. You enter the greater blessing. Notice next, this is the second. What way does God bless this man who is blessed? The man who's approved and perseveres in his faith through the trial. A trial, notice by the way, it was trial, not trials. One trial, a whole life, a trial-filled life. What will we be blessed with? What way will God bless us? What's the blessing? And the answer is, the reward is, he will receive, and here's where you're supposed to get excited, the crown of life. That's what God gives. He gives the crown of life. That's his prize. That's his reward. But you have to wait through this life to get it. It's future. It says so right here. This blessing is so great, I just want to take a little bit of time to explain what this crown of life is and is not. Just track with me for a couple minutes, okay? First, I want you to notice that the crown is one crown, not many. It has an article with it. It does not say, you know, the many crowns of life. It is the crown of life. We only get one. We have a life full of trial, a trial-filled life, and then we get the crown. Blessed is the man who perseveres under this, not a series of trials, but all of life, which is a trial. Once we've completed that and we have persevered in our faith, then we get the crown. Second, I want you to notice the crown that is pictured, as James writes, this is probably the victor's crown in an athletic contest. That was the New Testament's predominant use. Paul uses it this way, for example, in 2 Timothy 4:7-8, where he says, and this is at the end of his life, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have what? Kept the faith. Perseverance. I have kept the faith. I didn't abandon it, right? In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. See, he gets awarded. Will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved Christ's appearing. Another way of talking about a believer, someone who loves Christ and loves the fact that he has appeared. Everybody in that category gets this crown also, promised. Paul finished the race, he won the fight, he kept the faith, he endured all the way to the end of his life. He said he's going to be awarded the victor's crown, as in an athletic contest. Of course, James and the Jews were well aware of these Greek athletic contests all over the Roman world. They were even played in Jerusalem in those days. And by the way, the Jews hated that. But because of the influence of Herod the Great, his budding up with the Romans, they had that there. And the Jews felt it was an encroachment of Greek culture into their life. And so they didn't like it at all. That's why some think that James wouldn't be referring to that here. Maybe he's referring to the crown that royalty would have. Psalm 21:3 speaks of a crown that's of fine gold and it's put on the head of a king. Maybe James is referring to that as well. They debate whether they're talking about the victor in an athletic contest or one who's going to get to reign along with Jesus Christ because we will rule with him. I don't really care whether it is that or that. Maybe it's both. I'm going to get a crown from Jesus. The last thing I want you to understand about that crown is that the phrase the crown of life means the crown which is life. Life is the crown on the head. It's an appositional relationship. That's what the other crowns are too. Crown of righteousness means he's going to be crowned with righteousness. Crown of glory means glory is what he'll be crowned with. He's going to get life, righteousness, and glory. And that's a crown for our heads. He's blessed that way with eternal blessing. I know that some interpret this crown as some kind of a greater reward that will be given only to some faithful believers, not given to other Christians because they weren't faithful enough. Like something like that would be given out of the Bema seat of judgment in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where believers are evaluated for how they live before the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives them rewards based upon their service. But nowhere in Scripture do we read of some believers getting more life than other believers. We're crowned with life. That means eternal life, and that is true for all believers. There's no such thing as some getting a little bit of eternal life and others getting more of it. And here, in the context of James, it really doesn't support this idea either, that it would be given only to some Christians. Verse 12 specifically states that these are crowns to be given to those who love Christ, who love God, you see. Those who love God is a description that fits all believers. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 equates those who are called to salvation, that is those who are saved, as also those who love God. Listen to the words again. We know that God causes all things to work together for good, and here we have the same group, to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. That's the calling of salvation. That's every believer. That means every believer loves God. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 16:22, it says, if anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. You know what accursed means? It means eternally damned. Now, we never love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and our mind as we're exhorted to. We never love him that way, or we'd be perfect, but we do love him. In John's first letter, it says that though we were not the first to love God, we did learn love of God by him first loving us, and then we loved him back. Every believer loves God to some extent. By the way, the same is true in the Old Testament. Believers were regularly talked about definitionally as those who love God. It's even in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 and verse 6, Psalm 97:10, Psalm 145:20, and many other places. Scripture equates the saved people as those who love God. Besides, if it were true that only some believers would get this crown of life, that would mean that some believers are not approved. For James says that everyone who endures is approved, and everyone who is approved gets the crown of life. But what is it that is being approved through the trials? The answer has already been given in the text, our faith. Remember, verse 3 equated the testing with the testing of our faith. 1 Peter 1 also talks about our faith that is tested as through fire. Faith is the very requirement for salvation, and that's what's being tested, whether it's real or not. We are saved by faith. Faith is that important. For faith to save, it has to be genuine, so it has to be tested. See? And so all Christians will get this crown of life. That's exciting. This is not just for the super elite. This is not just for the apostles and pastors and martyrs and things like that. This is a promise for all of you who believe. James is teaching really the same thing that Jesus says in the book of Revelation, Revelation 2:10, where he tells the church, be faithful, that is faithful to me, be faithful unto death, and I will give you what? The crown of life. That's the only other place in all of the scripture that uses that exact phrase, the crown of life. And he means the same thing. If you are faithful to me to the end, I will give you and crown you with everlasting life. All true believers endure in their faith to the end, and they are faithful to Christ through a life of trials, even all the way to death. And therefore, for every believer, there is this future reward, the blessed crown of everlasting life. We start thinking about that. This is what your heart gets warmed by. This is what energizes your faith. This is what causes you to rejoice when the going gets tough. It's not that the tough get going, it's that they reflect on the truth of God. A promise has been given to me and I'm going to get that in the future. Some people say, look, I already have life. No, you have a body that's fading away. We already told that in verse 11. There's new life. It's better life. It's resurrection life. It's permanent life. Your body's better. Everybody around you is going to be better. Life is better. Environment's better. Your heart is better. Your mind is better. Better leadership. Everything's better. There is a sense, obviously, in which we have everlasting life now. We know in John's gospel, he talks about that over and over. In fact, in John 5:24, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in God who sent me already has eternal life." That's how you get eternal life. If you're wondering, how do I get eternal life? The answer is listen to God in the Bible and believe in Jesus Christ whom God sent, and you are given everlasting life. There it is. It's that simple. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. So there's a sense in which it's my possession now. I'm not looking forward to it. I already have it. But there's a greater sense. The life that is coming is the fuller expression of the life that you already have. It's not a different kind of life. It's just the full-blown thing. It's everything that your life is now that you already enjoy in Christ. It's just going to be magnified, and you're going to see it with all of its blessing and all of its glory and all of its joy. That's what it is. But you have to endure. And so Jesus said, "You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved." Matthew 10:22. We have to hold fast the confession of our faith and our hope in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:2 says the same. By the gospel of Jesus, he told the Corinthians, "You are saved if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." What does it mean to believe in vain? To begin to believe and then to let go and no longer believe. James is looking at the future life as the eternal resurrection life, the permanent life, where the spiritual life that we have now in Christ is fully and completely realized. The crown is the final bestowal or complete bestowal of life, pointing to that eternal bliss that we will have. To be crowned with life, then, you have to endure trial now. And the Lord promised it to us. 1 John 2:25. This is the promise which he himself made to us. Eternal life. Nobody can promise you eternal life. Keep it. Nothing that you'll ever be promised in life will be better than eternal life. Eternal life. It's better than face cream. Eternal life. It's better than good insurance. Everlasting, blissful, glorious life with God. Everything that you wish life to be will be that, and it will never end, and no one can steal it from you, and you can't mess it up. Because if we could mess it up, we would, and it wouldn't be much of a promise. It'd be like Adam and Eve all over again. We're going to be better off than Adam and Eve. Paradise, you can't mess up. No devil coming in there and saying, did God really say? None of that. Beloved, there's nothing more important than eternal life. Seek God's reward. It's a better reward. Seek it. By the way, there's nothing wrong with seeking reward from God. If your only motive is, I want to get rich, obviously that's not really seeking reward from God. If you're willing to do the will of God and have pain and sorrow on earth because you want to be pleasing to your Heavenly Father, and when you're all alone, sitting on your bed, alone in your closet, whatever your little nice spot is, you know, and you're all alone there. For me, it's usually outside under the stars or something. And you're thinking, what am I doing? What's motivating me? Why am I doing what I'm doing? It should settle back to this. I want to please Jesus Christ with my life. I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to be pleasing to him. And yes, I would gloriously and humbly receive everlasting life, crowned on my head, knowing I don't deserve it at all, but taking it and saying thank you, right? This is the core motivation, to love God, to seek reward from God. Though none go with me, still I will what? Follow. Why? Because this is what I want more than anything else. Make sure in your heart you know you've given up your life. What did Jesus say? You know, if you hang on to your life in this life, you're going to lose it anyway. But if you lose your life for my sake, you're going to find it. You're going to find it.
God has promised a crown of eternal life to all who believe, have faith, and endure to the end. Spiritual blessings start the moment you believe. But the life that God promises eternally is richer, fuller, and more abundant than you can imagine. Today, Pastor Tom explained the way God promises to bless those who love him. He called you to examine the genuineness of your faith and remember to hold fast to the Lord who is faithful to fulfill His promises. Discover Hope is a listener-supported ministry, and we'd like to offer you the opportunity to be a part of sharing the gospel message. Would you join us in praying for our listeners? Pray that the love and grace of Jesus will be evident in each new broadcast, and that many would come to know the hope of salvation. Thanks for praying. If you feel led to contribute financially to this ministry as well, you can do so by visiting hopebible.org and clicking the Giving tab at the top of the page. We appreciate every amount given and use it to continue producing the messages of Pastor Tom Leak that you hear on Discover Hope. Temptation to sin is a hard reality of fallen man. Like trials in life, temptations are to be expected. Often temptation follows trials and struggles in life. James provides instruction and clarity to help you seek to live an obedient and godly life. Next time on Discover Hope, Pastor Tom will help you to better understand trials and the temptations that follow, which must not be blamed on God. Evil is never from God. To listen again to today's message in the book of James, visit hopebiblechurch.org and look under the Sermons tab. Pastor Tom will return soon with another in-depth study of God's Word. So join us again, right here on Discover Hope.